All right, cool. It's 6 o'clock. Let's start the work session for the January 17th town board meeting for Lysander. On the work session, we have highway committee items. You guys want to brief us
yes.
on your...
Yes. If you recall, the board asked several months ago to have us look into 5 different things. We have had one meeting. We did some work. They wanted to bring some items back that they wanted to have some dialogue with the board. The very first one was driveway permits. My understanding is that we have in place right now, if a resident comes to the codes office and is building a house or building a pole barn or wants a driveway, the code enforcement office gives them a permit application, which they fill out. It ends up in Jerry's hands to go out and inspect and look at site distances and drainage flows and pipe requirements and backfill requirements and any grading. So the highway superintendent is a part of that, and that seems to be working. And we have a fee of $75 for a residential driveway and $100 for a commercial driveway. That all seems to be working. The part that was a little confusing to some of us was that, you know, think 30 years down the road when that metal pipe corrodes and rots and falls apart and collapses, the drainage system isn't working correctly anymore. Right now what we're doing is we're going out and replacing it. And wanted to talk to the board about charging for that fee, charging them to replace the pipe and the stone to make that drainage system work.
Currently do it for free.
Currently, and we go out and do it for free.
We fix them for free.
Yes. Fix them.
We charge initially, mm-hmm. but we fix them for free.
And you know, the permit fee is one thing, and on the application, we are asking them what contractor they're going to use. And my understanding is that they might say, well, can you do it?
We do it most of the time.
Right.
Which
and
means
we charge them so much a foot for the pipe and so much a load for the stone. You know,
our personnel costs are kind of buried. The guys are on the job anyway.
Yeah. So we're covering the cost of materials.
What we're doing is we're putting it in, and that way we know we put it in the way we want it in.
It's in right.
You know, bottom of the ditch is the elevation we want, and you know, because we dig it and place it and put the stone on it and bring it to the road edge. And we usually put enough stone to take them from the road grade to their grade. You know, they could traverse the ditch and get to their grade of their property. So, you know, some deeper ditch is going to take more stone.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of a wash. We're just trying to cover our costs with what we charge when we do those installations. What we're referring to is, you know, obviously now we're putting in plastic everywhere humanly possible. The only time we put in anything but plastic is we do have some pipe, Gene, that he acquired back when. It was some heavy steel pipe, heavy walled steel pipe, that if we get in a situation where it's a really shallow ditch, we need to get a certain amount of cover over the pipe and when it's plastic, otherwise it'll get crushed. So in those unusual situations, which I think I've only had to use it once so far, we used the length of that pipe and put it in because plastic, we wouldn't have got enough cover on it. So our pipes that we're putting in today are plastic. What we're replacing are the ones that were put in 30 years ago, 25 years ago, due to the salts on the road instead of the sand mixtures nowadays. Anything with metal, 25 to 30 years, the bottoms are gone, joints will go bad. And people call me when there's like a hole in their asphalt driveway. That's sure. The first indicator something's amiss underneath. And we haven't found one yet that had a hole that it wasn't a bad pipe. So we've been changing them. Now, the thing that adds to that is obviously over 30 years, most people asphalt their driveways. So we have to cut the asphalt, dig the old pipe out, put the new pipe in, put new stone on it, you know, and reset it and tamp it. And then when we get a chance, we try to do a bunch at once, go around and hot asphalt it back. And sure. So, you know, you're talking a process to put them back whole again, you know, and we're doing it for nothing. So,
And the other part of that is being proactive. If his paving or road surfacing program, you know, we're going to redo Patchett Road, for instance, this right. coming summer. They go out ahead of time and look at driveways and ditches and prep shoulders. And
yeah. Like you, I can tell you right now, Patchett Road was a good example, Lower Patchett, actually where I live. You go down that road, it hasn't been resurfaced in years and years. So we'll go down there and we'll dig the ditches. I already know there's one guy up the end of the street that has two entrances to his property, you know, because there's a separate building on one part. And both those iron, you know, corrugated metal pipes are bad, and they're both 60 feet long.
Oh.
And then you go a little further down the road, and we've got a cross culvert with a bulkhead that's separating, and there's holes behind it, and that's a good size pipe that goes from one side of the road to the other and carries a crick. So we'll go down through there, and we'll do all that, and redo the ditches, and redo the road edges, and get everything prepped. Then we resurface it, because we don't want to be digging up new roads. So, as he put it, it's a proactive approach. And then beyond that, the only pipes we end up doing are ones where someone calls us. I mean, we don't go looking for those things. Someone will call us and say, hey, there's a hole in my driveway. Can you come take a look at it? And it is our infrastructure, so we've been changing them.
How much do you think we should look at for charging? I mean, should we have a flat fee or?
Should probably just come down to estimated amount of stone and length of pipe.
And Jerry rattled off to us, you know, the $120 a foot for pipe.
Twelve-inch pipe is our 12-inch is your fairly normal driveway culvert pipe, and a residential house, you know, is typically a 20-footer goes in there. So you know you got
$120.
Yeah, and then the stone. Typical driveway, like I'll use new installation as a example, because we don't do asphalt on it. And a typical new installation with a couple loads of stone, the pipe, it's typically $450, you know. And you get into a deeper ditch, we might eat it a little on that one. We get into a shallow one, we make up for it. So if you said $450, $500 per new install, that's about where you'd be pretty safe at that.
How many
residential?
How many do you do in a year? Would you say?
Oh boy, it was just this past year we probably did 20 of them or more.
Yeah. So it's like
significant.
Yeah, it is.
Eight to $10,000 in revenue for the department.
And it comes off of our maintenance part of our highway money. Comes off the maintenance side, not the reconstruction side.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Right.
So.
Well, would you be in favor of charging rebuilds?
Well, Al and I have talked about this numerous times, and you know, I kind of went with a rule of thumb that we never have, that I'm aware of in the town, charge someone to come and replace a bad pipe, figuring they lived there for...
Yeah, I was going to say, Gene was doing that. The guys didn't like it, but Gene was doing that.
Oh, charging for a redo of an old one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely, from 5 years and 7 months, that's what we did.
Okay, well I didn't see any sheets on it in our driveway file, but
there weren't too many of them.
No, okay.
they found other ways of living with their home where they hired a contractor to do it.
Yeah, the only thing, if they hire a contractor, we're supposed to be able
inspect
to check it.
Yeah.
We did.
You know.
We didn't have any junk jobs.
So typically, it's actually cheaper for them to have us do it, as a rule, versus a private.
Well, especially if we're not charging labor.
Yeah, you know, we just want to make sure it's done right is our key. And we want our drainage infrastructure to be right. So
it seems to me, and it might not be the most popular thing to, well, or maybe it would be, because you're doing 20, driveways a year and there's 22,000 residents, I think it's a reasonable request that every 15, 20, 30 years you have to pay to have the infrastructure that you need to access your property, you need to pay for that replacement.
I was going to say, with the new plastic pipes that you're putting
probably
in,
never.
Putting in 50. You're going to be 50 or 100 years yeah. before you look at it again. Yeah. The only culverts we're replacing are the corrugated metal culverts that the salt has just yeah. killed.
Anything metal is shot.
Yeah.
You know? And they're popping up all over the place. So.
I mean, tell me what you think, guys. I mean, it $400 or $500 or whatever it's going to cost.
You know, typical residential, that's what you're looking at.
It makes sense to me, and it allows us to kind of recoup a little bit of the work that you guys are doing as well.
It puts money back to my maintenance side.
So you can use it in other
areas. So I can do more catch basins instead of driveway culverts. I mean,
I always viewed it as we're giving them a permit to put their driveway in our right-of-way. It's their driveway. They own the driveway, they own the pipe. We own the ditch, we own the road, and we have the right-of-way. But it's their driveway and their pipe. If their pipe fails, then it should come out of their pocket to replace it.
Right. Well, I'm in agreement with that. It's reasonable, I think.
And it has to be however you want to do this, okay? There has to be some kind of write-up or rule that, you know, if we find, we deem, because exactly I'll be the devil's advocate. You know, people start saying, oh, geez, don't call them, great. They'll come over and they'll change that pipe. It's going to cost you $500, okay? Well, if we are made aware of or we find one when we're doing a road, you know, you can't say no to us. If we deem your pipe is bad, it's got to come out. You know, if you can't pay us, I mean, the only alternative is to put it on your tax bill. You know, we'll figure them on a case-by-case basis, you know, down to the nitty-gritty. And like you said, they're kind of getting the labor for nothing. The thing that kills us is when it's a blacktop driveway and we've got to redo the asphalt. Now there's another whole step involved, you know.
Or you tell them that, hey, if we got to replace your pipe, you got to have a private contractor come in and pay that afterwards. We'll bring it to grade and stone.
That's what we did for 5 years and 7 months. The asphalt was on now.
Because that's in our right of way. And that's
got the nothing apron. To do with our right of way.
Well, yeah, it's infrastructure in our right-of-way. It's an improvement that they made in our right-of-way.
Right. So when it fails, they can fix it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
At their expense.
But what I'm saying is we have to have a way to
make Patrick
them
wrote,
fix it.
If
I go down through there and I say, your pipe is bad, it's
got
to come out, this
the
is what it
system.
Will cost you if you have us do it, and the guy goes, oh, I ain't doing that. Right. Well, it's got to come out.
I've got to imagine that there's law.
We have to maintain our water.
There's got to be case law where someone, some point in the state, refused to fix a busted culvert in a right-of-way, and the town had, what's in their easement, it's in their right-of-way, had the ability to say, okay, well, we're going to dig it out.
We're going to fix it.
We're going to fix it, or we're not, but we're just taking it out of our right-of-way.
It's in our right-of-way. We have a right to do what we want to do.
I think you probably have pretty broad discretion there. We can check that out, Tony.
Yeah.
Make
we
sure
just,
where we
I'm
are.
Just being devil's advocate a little bit there because, you know, you're going to run into it someplace.
I was going to say, you could even give them the option, hey, if you don't have the money now, we can, we at the end of the year, we just put these on the tax bill, anybody that hasn't paid.
Right.
And put it on their town and county tax bill in January.
Okay. Good.
The other...
So what are you going to go through to do this? You want to
add it to the permit?
Yeah.
We should definitely modify the permit form to let them know that any infrastructure placed for their driveway is theirs, and long-term maintenance replacement costs will be borne by the property owner.
I know. I did some research on this a while back.
There's a Tony paragraph right there.
I did some, months and months ago, and all towns do it all different ways. There's no consistency. There's some charge, some don't. When they charge for certain things. So really, I think it's up to us to determine what we think.
I mean, we went to the point of getting a hold of the county, and I asked them, what's your permit application process? Because we got a lot of county roads in our town, and people ask. And so it's nice to be familiar with what the flip side of the coin's doing. And Boy, theirs is quite a process just to get a culvert put in and a new install. It's about a 6-page document.
And on top of that, the county doesn't. If your once your pipe goes bad, the county replaces them, and they don't charge anybody.
Right.
They have a much larger budget than we do, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And they've got more money to spend.
So it's like you said, some do, some don't. You know.
What's the board think? I mean, I kind of made my...
I think it's a good idea. I think it allows you an opportunity to recoup some of your losses and then use that money again for other repairs or other things that you find or deem necessary. Makes sense to me.
I'm on board with it. The one thing we mentioned is that we want to, whatever policy we put in place, we're going to want in place before March, you said, right?
Yeah.
Because
oh,
when
yeah.
you start your paving plan, we want to make sure that we
yeah.
he can go look at these roads and
we already know some stuff that's out there.
Right. And then the other thing we mentioned, and Bob, I think you maybe we're going to get to this as far as developments?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Our current system is, for example, Cabbage Patch. They come before us. They come before the planning board. They get approvals. They do a plot plan. We see the drawings. But never do we ever get to a spot where they're placing the driveway
on the plan
perfectly on the plan,
which makes problems like what Jerry was talking about earlier, where so all of a sudden there's
a vent pipe in the middle of the driveway,
vent pipe,
or a catch basin,
catch basin
smack in the middle of a guy's driveway, or
they put a driveway right on a cul-de-sac. Which
I got one over here that's a dual one. I got one over here in Radisson that the catch basin is about 6 feet in from the end of his driveway, in the middle of the driveway. And his driveway comes out, it damn near touches the stop sign.
So the
if that house had been reverse planned, just what we call a mirror image, no problem. Every single time.
So, in the process right now, Jerry's not involved. The highway superintendent is not involved in.
You look at that and you say, what is wrong with this
okay.
builder?
Yeah, I get it.
So we want to. The permit application only applies to people building. Building out on the country on a road, on the country, not in a development. There's no permit for people, for Cabbage Patch, to say they put in 47 houses. There aren't 47 permits.
Well, I'll tell you, you've almost got to get it before. I mean, you got to get it
before they issue a building permit.
Yeah, because
or at the same time,
if they put the garage on the left side of the lot, you know, unless they have a diagonal driveway. So
another thing that goes into this is that actual. So right now. Our permit process only requires a survey showing the footprint of the home on the survey, the proposed footprint of the home.
One sheet of paper.
Does not show
utilities.
The driveway or utilities or any grading. And I think all three of those things should really be addressed prior to a permit being issued. So it would be...
But would you have it earlier in the process? All the way up to final plat approval?
No, you would do this every time somebody comes in with a building permit. They need to come in with a site plan for the
property. Oh, for the actual house before they
build
it.
For the actual house.
So I know where it's in my road.
Because all you do with the plat is approve the lot.
The lot. Okay.
You're not approving.
So we would need to do a local law to amend our zoning code and permit process to require that site plan with permit application.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you?
A local law.
Pardon?
Does that make sense to you, Jack?
Yeah. I mean, I really don't think you want to try to transfer that up to the pre-final plat.
You can't do it.
That makes sense.
It would be part of their house building permit process.
Exactly.
I get a piece of paper, it shows said house, where the driveway's coming down, but it also shows me where the nearest catch basin is, where the water shutoffs are, so that I can go, no, you don't want the driveway there.
Yeah.
Put it over here.
I mean, the only time you get into that kind of detailed layout is when somebody is subdividing an existing lot that's got homes on it. We have to know where the driveways are.
The existing driveways,
but not for a new development.
Okay. And we also wanted this to include a permit fee because, you know, everybody says, oh, there's no maintenance. The heck there ain't. We have to go out and suck the catch basins and, you know, we have infrastructure there. Under drains, sometimes they get messed up and, you know, so there's maintenance work involved even in a housing tract, so it's, you're not talking about a ton of money. I talked to Tim, he said 50 houses a year. Okay, 50 times 75, you know, you're talking what, $4,000? Mm-hmm. Your brain's not that quick today.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, you're not talking about a ton of money here,
and that's really not the purpose.
And I would like that to go to us for maintenance work, you know, because that's what it involves, you know. So
well, you can start creating a log of those.
Oh yeah.
I mean, just as they come aboard or as they're repaired in the future, yeah. You can just have a file of all the.
We actually do have a pretty good, you know, way of keeping track of stuff we've done.
I like it. Good initiative.
We can enhance it.
Tony, do we need to draft that local law that would allow for? Are we talking about creating a local law that would allow us?
The local law would only be the, yes, we would have to do a local law to require the site plan with the building permit application. And the details that are included in the site plan. We'd probably even list the driveway permit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One little, you know, we're not trying to make it harder on the person coming in for the permit for said house and said housing tract, whatever builder it is. He comes in and it's a one-stop shop. Here's your stuff for the house. Here's your stuff for the driveway. You know, here's your fees. You're done.
Joe, do you think you should send a letter to the developers that typically do business with the town so they're aware that there's going to be a public hearing? And
Well, the developers / builders.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
Just so, you know.
And get yeah, because there'll be a public hearing on it, but very few people attend the public hearing.
And I just want them to be aware of it because this is new, so I don't want a developer to do work. And then
we can hear their side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
I'll work with Al. We'll figure out where we need to put that in as far as the code is concerned.
Okay.
And let me ask the question. I think a home builder is coming in and applying for a driveway permit. Typically, he'll go to Tim,
mm-hmm.
right? Tim gives him this, fills it out. You get involved with mm-hmm. distances and blah, blah, blah. But this person is paying the town clerk.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
And is that working, that system?
Yes. A lot of times if it's, I'll say, said home out in the country somewhere, a lot of times they'll hand us the check. I finish filling that out right there with them.
And, gotcha.
You know, tell them what the cost is, and a lot of people pay right on the spot. A lot of people will drive in and pay the clerk's office.
I was going to say, it'll end up having to be a two entries in per journal for the fee, because one fee will be to the code department for the building permit, and one fee will be for the driveway permit. So right. We'll just have to, however Tim does the invoicing for them to take over to pay the clerk, we'll just have to make sure that it itemizes the
gotcha.
The two charges.
Gotcha. Properly. Okay.
And then he'll just have to say to me, hey, Jerry, I got a permit in here, you know, and I'll go look at it.
Yeah. Or he can send you the copy of the, permit.
Fax it or yep. whatever. We'll figure that out.
Did I miss anything else on driveways?
I think you got it.
Okay. Cool. Okay. The second thing we discussed was to talk about snow plowing, residential, commercial snow plowing permits. There are several businesses, landscapers, snow plowers in our town that are taking care of our residents. Again, we're not looking to make a ton of money here. It's not for revenue. We would love to put together an information pamphlet, a booklet or a handout. We would like anybody that's plowing driveways in the town of Lysander to come in and register. And we get to know their name and who they are. And we want to ask them for a list of addresses of their clients.
We don't want their names. We just want to know where.
Doesn't matter who they are. We just want to know where they're plowing. So if our crew is out plowing and there's big banks of snow in the middle of the road or mailboxes smashed, that we know it wasn't us, it was this plow
driver. Literally, the disgusting factor here is we go through and make nice, and then an hour later it looks like a bomb went off where we just plowed, and then we get people calling us, hey, you didn't plow my street. Yes, we did. And it's the commercial guys coming right out, last swipe, boom, dumping it in the road. You know, it looks like a bomb went off in some of these neighborhoods. So, you know, I'd like to be able to know who I'm calling and say, hey, you know, we'll revoke your ability to plow within this town. Now, isn't there something for our trash haulers, too? Don't they have to buy a permit to be able to haul trash in this town?
Yeah, under our, we issue a permit to every hauler. And again, towns do it differently.
Right.
But with that permit, I believe, I know it does, at least in the village, there is an OCRA. The village has a series of rules mm-hmm. for pickup. They pretty much follow OCRA, meaning that they're mandated to have separate receptacles for trash. But yeah, all that's laid out in the permit. Mm-hmm. So you could easily initiate that. And again, I don't think it's anything that we're looking to generate revenue on.
I have a
but at least we put the rules out there. They sign off on that, you know.
Most importantly, we want to give them information.
Yeah, I want this more educational than anything else.
Yeah.
And
if they violate the rules, then it's a revocable, so that holds them to keep them responsible.
I just don't feel comfortable asking a private business to tell us, we want a list of the addresses of your clients, because even if we don't have the names, if we know the address, we know the name of the person.
Well, there's a reason for it. It's purely so that when my guys are out plowing and here's a section of town that, man, it looks like a bomb went off, you know, and then they can tell, you know, it was a commercial guy bringing it out into the road. All they got to do is flag an address or two for me. And then I'll know who did it, and I can call the guy up and say, hey, you know. Otherwise, I'm just guessing which plow jockey to call, because there's probably 30 or 40 of them plowing in this town.
And I'm going to play the devil's advocate, though, because I don't believe this would ever happen, but let's go for a hypothetical situation. This could also be a scapegoat if, you know, another highway superintendent or another situation, if one of our plows doesn't do a good job, they could just say, well, it was the commercial guys. I don't think that would happen, but...
Nah.
I'm just really nervous about asking a private business owner, we want a list of your clients.
Well, you know, it's
it's just the first I'm hearing of it. So
even if all we did was as our plow guys are out on the route and they see that snow had been pushed across, that the snowbank's obviously bigger over here and there was snow left on the sides, they know what driveway it came from. If all they had was a notepad and just wrote the number down for us to follow up.
Actually, I could do it in a way that might appease you a little bit.
Because here's the thing.
Along his lines, guys spot it. Uh-huh. They just give me an address.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can find a person that owns the house. I could say, who plows your driveway?
Right. Because they change. That's another thing. It's never... People change plow guys and, you know, it'd be like whack-a-mole.
Well, see, each fall... They'd have to come and renew their permit. So, you know, that address list that we were talking about, you know, would be updated.
But I know a lot of people that have fired their guys mid-season, either because they weren't happy or they're...
Sure.
Yeah.
So maybe that might appease
you.
Yeah,
it would.
Just have a logbook.
Yeah.
We'd have to anyway. So, you know, they'd have to give me an address anyway.
Right.
So
instead of calling
the plow jockey, I'm gonna have to get a hold of the residents see who's plowing you. So, that'll work too.
To require all this, we need another law. Local.
I know.
Well,
if
the true, you know, if the real need is to find out who's plowing the driveways, and we just solve that problem here, then we don't need permits, because that's what you wanted it for, primarily. That and the cost of brochures.
Educational brochure.
Well, so
we know who's plowing in our town.
So I think permits have been looked at before, for sure.
That's true.
You want to... What if we did this? Because we're already in the middle of the winter.
Oh, yeah. This.
Yeah, we're in no
At this point, this isn't going to happen to fall.
Yep.
But if we start working on it now, we'll have it by fall. I mean, you know.
And you know what? I guess the biggest part of this is putting together an informational brochure.
Yes.
We could do that anyway.
You know, there's the law about leaving debris in the road. I mean, that's a no-no. You know, that's it's not so much pushing it across the road. I mean, if the guy across the road that owns the property doesn't yell at him, shame on him. You know, but if the guy's leaving debris in the road, that's where you're
we could even, and we don't do it often, but so we could always have a permit as, let's call that the nuclear option. If we send out a mailer as soon as a week or two from now to all the residents and just let them know that it's important that their plow guys understand these rules, because it's the homeowner that hires these people. It's the plow guy that's going to cause a phone call to come to the homeowner. So we should educate our homeowners first. They are the customers of the plow guys. So for this year, if we really wanted to be aggressive with it, we could do a mailer. We could do a one-sheeter, come up with the rules. We could even put the no parking as a reminder. It is the winter season. Just from the highway department. A one-sheeter on winter activities, include plowing, and see how it works. And if we, after the mailing, we continue to see guys violating this, then I think next year we can say, you know what, we tried the softer approach as far as letting people know and letting the plow guys know throughout the winter. We continued to see that activity. We really should push towards a permit process. We could do that. It's up to you guys,
or
but
we could work toward that.
Or you could work towards that.
Ready to roll it out next fall.
But if every year, see, again, you know, we could twice a year issue from the highway department a mailer on seasonal activities. Mm-hmm. In the winter, these are our concerns. Just to remind you, we are in the winter season. Our guys will be out on the road. You know, please. Be courteous and, you know, blah, 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 and list all the things that are concerned in the winter months. And then in the spring, we have issues. You know, please be conscious. You know, you may not have gotten to clearing your leaves. Please unclog drains to allow proper drainage in your neighborhood, blah, 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 blah. But every year, we could issue a mailer, and it wouldn't cost that much money, but it's constant communication between our residents and the highway. We could also put it on our website.
That would probably help too.
Throw it in the paper. I mean, it's I like where we're going here.
It's educational.
It's educational.
And we're not looking to be the mean guy here.
And I got one more resource that it might be free to us, Al. We're a member of the MS4 Association, and they're responsible for education.
Public outreach and education.
Public outreach. And we have never really asked them to cater information specific to Lysander residents. Is there an opportunity for us to do that with them, with our membership?
No, not necessarily. So they pool everybody's membership money and do countywide initiatives. Now, if we got some other highway superintendents on board that were saying the same thing, we might be able to convince them to do that. But if it's just one municipality, I don't know if they would. I mean, I can certainly bring it to them, but I'm not so sure that they would take that one on.
Okay. Just wondering. Just thought it might be another opportunity. All right. So what do you guys feel about? You want to put out a mailer?
I like the mailer idea, personally. I think the educational one, I think putting a list of things in place is a good idea.
And once you have the boilerplate in place,
yeah,
you don't, it doesn't have to change year to year. I mean, you might tweak something if there's a change, but once it's in place, then it's just a constant reminder. On top of us putting it on Facebook, on top of us putting it on
website,
utilizing the messenger.
Why don't you let us work on a rough draft?
Remind the people that, because a lot of people snowblow their stuff into the street, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's true.
Remind the residents that they're not supposed to do that either.
Yeah. Well, it's going to end up back in their driveway anyways.
Well, the biggest problem we have is
put it downstream.
The actual traffic, like this last little three-day duration of not any heavy plowing, but there was snow ahead of it, and the ones that pushed it out or blew it out or whatever, the traffic packs it down.
Yeah.
So quickly. And the problem we had is we didn't get any warm temps over the last 3 days. And we've actually got some compacted snow that turned to ice in different locations.
Sure.
And you can see it when you go down one of these roads. You can feel it when you go down one of these roads where the people pushed out or snowblowed out and traffic packed it. Now it's bang, bang, bang down the road. When you watch that wing flipping up and down.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hazard to everybody, you know, when they do that, push it in the road and leave it there. So.
All right, well, we're going to get together again before the end of January. We'll work on a rough draft. We'll start putting something together.
Perfect.
Okay, for an educational thing. Quickly, ditching materials. Al, I think maybe you can help us the best here.
Part of the newly, actually it was last year they were adopted, the New York State DEC Part 360 requirements state that ditching materials and materials that we suck out of catch basins must be disposed of as waste. So it can't be, we can't put it on another piece of person's private property just because if there is contaminants in it, we're essentially spreading pollution. We're supposed to dispose of it in a landfill. I talked to the Camillus Highway Superintendent, Paul Ignato, who also manages their construction waste landfill. He said their rate for disposal of dirt like that would be $10 a ton.
I might be able to negotiate that better, but still.
I would say, I mean, I
would be 300 tons a year, would you say?
More than that. I'd say 3,000. Yeah,
3,000 tons?
Oh, we do thousands of tons.
Yeah, I'd say it's, I mean, we did 13 miles.
Every ditch we take?
It's a figure. So what I would propose is this year when we're doing our ditching, we stockpile everything at 60 rows with silt fence around it. And then on rain days, just put the 10 wheelers on hauling it to Camillus. Or if you got enough trucks, I mean, you can haul straight to Camillus if you can keep the hole moving. I mean, it just depends on where you're working in the town. If you're working way up in the northwest corner, boy, to get it over to the Camillus landfill, you're a round trip, an hour and 20 minutes probably.
And obviously, just so the public or the board or all of us are aware, you know, I could put two trucks with a hole and do ditch work because typically, sure, whoever wanted the dirt closest to where we're ditching gets it.
Yeah.
Okay. And now we're talking going to one location from no matter where we excavate in the town. And
I mean, just getting to 60 row is from the northwest corner back to 60 row is 20 minutes.
Yeah. And the problem is going to be, it's going to render us a whole lot less efficient when it comes to ditching because now instead of two trucks and a backhoe, three men. Now you're talking four or five trucks so that you can make the trips and keep the hole moving.
And disposal of it.
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean,
ticket price of disposal.
Well, yeah, you're talking dollars, fuel, wear on the trucks, mileage.
It's a unfunded mandate.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a state mandate. It's an EPA mandate. Yeah. It's
still a mandate. It's unfunded mandate.
Yeah, it's the EPA pushes it back on the state, and the state passes it down to us.
And I would probably say, depending on where we're doing something like that, ditching and hauling dirt from, stockpiling at 60 is, to me, that's handling it twice. Might as well rack the trucks up and start hauling from the backhoe and just get rid of it. You know, I hate to create another pile that we got to deal with, you know.
Whatever works for you manpower-wise.
Definitely an association of towns.
Yes.
And
there may be sometimes we might pile it.
And honestly, our discussion at the committee meeting was
southwest corner of the town, maybe Camillus. Cut through that.
We've all looked at
Camillus,
it.
Not that bad, but if you're
we might be asking you to
corner,
take a look at it and translate.
My question is sometimes the DEC, when you do a cleanup, they let you take the dirt from wherever you're cleaning up and just stockpile it and let it clean out by itself, so to speak. I don't know if DEC.
So there's testing requirements to that.
Yeah.
Which is certainly an option that we can look at if we stockpile it all at 60 year old.
A lot of money.
Well, I mean, you can
deposit this whole change.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, you can I mean, rather than paying for disposal, we can do TCLP testing and metals testing with a composite sample from our pile. Once we get a clean test back, then theoretically we can dispose of it as we wish, if we get a clean test back. But if we get a test back that shows something that says we can't dispose of it as just
contaminated soil,
and that can't be used for daily cover material, well, then the tipping fee goes to $55 a ton.
So how, what are the chances that we're going to get a bad test in this area?
Hit or miss.
Depends on where we are in the town. Yeah,
exactly.
Dump blood in the ditches lately.
Yeah, you never know. And it doesn't, I mean, it's only a few parts per million with some metals. And,
what I was going to ask you. What are they really looking for?
Yeah, it's metals and petroleum.
Well, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. Remember 2 years ago? They were County Oil and Stone Dunham. Was it Dunham?
Mm-hmm.
No. Dog Harbor.
Dunham's ours.
Dog Harbor.
Right before a rainstorm.
Had to be Mud Lake.
It was Mud Lake.
Yeah.
In front of the park.
Yes. And we had a cloud burst right after they did it, and all the oil washed into people's yards and into the ditches. It was a... It looked like a giant... It looked like the Exxon Valdez had rolled through.
I mean, if that was handled properly, all of that should have been scraped off, handled as contaminated material, and reseeded itself.
I watched a layer of it land within feet of... a well pipe.
That's right. This past summer, they did the same thing on Cross Lake. Right. You know, they didn't watch the weather. They didn't care. And they went bombing right up through there, and that clouds opened up, and an hour after they did it.
So before we all jump and get real nervous, can we ask you just to even look at that Particle 360 and read through it? And that okay?
Yeah.
And we should talk to other highway superintendents and see what they're doing. When we were at the Association of Towns last year, they this was passed, but they also knew that it was a huge, huge burden on municipalities. So there's a level of leniency that we should look into and see what they're really expecting from us.
And they made it clear to us at that session that there's nobody out enforcing it.
Right.
Well, I was gonna say,
because they knew that this was so that's why we should look into it before we.
The other thing
do we know anybody in them organizations to know when they're going to start jamming people?
Well, that's what we're going to look into.
The
deal. Right. I mean, that's
the new MS4 permit that has been out in draft form and comments have been taken on. That is, you are supposed to keep records of how many tons you bring in and how it's disposed of.
And where?
How and where it's disposed of. And that's going to be part of the audit process. When they come in and audit us again for our MS4 permit, we're going to have to be able to show those records.
Let me ask you this, since you're right there, near to what I'm thinking about. When we vac catch bases, where are we taking that?
Well, I would say you just stockpile it at 60-year-old and mix it in with some dryer material so it's not slop, and then let it dry.
Quick question. Labor negotiations. You want to take a quick break and see if... And we kind of want to grab Jerry with a brief conversation before we...
Yeah.
All right, so let's revisit this.
We got to do the quick wording on resolution... Your agenda right there?
Yeah, it's right here.
We have one quick wording change we got to do on the grinder pump. We're going to add a sentence that says to be paid for with funds from the Whispering Oaks. Oaks for incentive zoning fees.
Funds.
Just answer my question. You see that question there?
From funds from the
Whispering Oaks for incentive zoning. Do we say fees or monies collected? What do you think, Tony? Yes. Either or.
Monies collected.
Incentive fees collected.
Monies collected for sewer improvements.
So we got three quotes on that. The low quote is $9,049. So that's what the resolution, basically where we're at on.
Okay. All right, let's break. Can I get a motion to move into executive session at 6:50?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We're in executive session. We'll come out here. Jerry, you got a second?